The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
I'm a whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped to the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dip our feet.
Yes, friends, it's time for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. It has topped in popularity for a longer period of time than any of the West Coast program in radio history. And Signal gasoline is tops, too, in quality. It takes extra quality, you know, to do extra mileage. And Signal is the famous go-farther gasoline. So look for the Signal school sign in yellow and black that identifies friendly, ear-owned Signal stations from Canada to Mexico. And now the winner's strange story. Night Owl.
He was a newspaper woman and a good one. Wood came easily to her. A few interesting ways of saying what she saw or felt or heard. Her Christian colleagues agreed that regardless of her shortcomings as a person, Helen Monover was a superlative reporter, holder of the Guild Award for on-the-spot reporting, the first woman to win this honor. In hours she stood in the courtroom, she found it was hard to her feelings into words. Impossible to describe the exhilarating sense of freedom she felt when the judge announced the decision.
That's all, Mr. Delavan?
That's all, Your Honor.
Very well. Court's granted.
As she left courtroom and started down the hall, she saw her husband lawyer a few steps ahead.
Mr. Delavan?
Huh? Oh, Mr. Delavan. No. I mean, Miss Connell.
I must get out of the building before I can thank you.
Thank me?
Yes, for everything. With a quick pain today, you handle the divorce.
Conover, divorce at best is never a painless operation.
It is the way you handle it. Is Malcolm really out of town?
Of course not.
But then why did he...
It was all arranged beforehand. I convinced Malcolm that it was wise not to contest the divorce.
Oh, why?
I'd rather not go into that, no? He's at home, I think. You'd probably know than I.
Well, with such an angel on it. You know, somehow I suddenly feel a little tender for him. He was so gentlemanly and everything.
Considering the circumstances, I'd say he was.
What do you mean, Mr. Jackson?
Well, you noted, of course, that Paul Wilson's name wasn't in the proceeding.
Well?
Didn't that strike you as unusual? Wilson was a full-fledged correspondent if I ever saw one. Your husband isn't entirely blind, you know.
See, yes, sure, in part.
You can take it any way you like. Now comes a very generous man, Miss Conover. Had he been otherwise, this divorce proceeding might have had some unfortunate overtones. For you, at least.
Well, there was nothing wrong. I made it clear about Paul and...
Yes, of course. Incidentally, Malcolm told me he'd like to see you when it's convenient. We might drop around in time today.
That I will.
Fine. Good day, Miss Conover.
Malcolm.
Oh, nice of you to ring the bell, Helen.
Oh, no, don't that way. I've come to tell you how nice you were.
For what?
Pick up your good sport. We can still be good friends.
Yes, I suppose that's the fashionable thing for those couples, particularly among your pseudo-intellectual friends.
Sorry, darling. I'm not going to let you draw me into an argument, especially now.
With love on the wing, huh?
Right. Let's have a drink now to our separate futures.
You say so. What will it be?
What happened, dear?
Oh, you might find something on the desk that'll interest
you. Oh, don't tell me, dear. Oh, here we are. New letter opener. Oriental sheath knife. 14 knots on the handle. Ooh, long bloody history. Now, why do you ever collect these things?
It isn't Oriental. It's South American, and that's not what I'm talking about. Take another look.
Nothing else here. Get better. Now, where did you get this letter?
In the mail. Perfectly normal routine.
And Paul, why is he running you?
He'll be in town tomorrow. Some reason or other, he asked me to come to his apartment at 9. What do you think?
But why would he...
Oh, maybe at long last he's heard about the divorce.
airline pilot's out of touch with Thing now.
Still going to him?
Of course. Let's drink to him, Helen. For our good friend, that white inner superb Paul Wilson.
That's not necessary.
You saw him, because you didn't even know he was going to be found. I knew and you didn't. That's a great story, man by star.
Stop it now. I'll have you
all right. All right, Helen. You're a great girl, a fine reporter. I resent losing, admit it. Just too bad you didn't take enough time out from your report to learn to be a woman. Now you'd better go.
Listen,
I said you'd better go. He's probably in town now waiting for... Well?
All right. Goodbye, Malcolm.
Oh, unholy mess as usual. Still setting up big headlines for little stories. Now, a few folks was on the phone.
Oh, you're satisfied, Eddie. Van.
Oh, I just saw it in the office.
Thanks. Van.
What do you think?
Hey, your story this morning was great. And, well, crack out the champagne. I hear you did the trick.
Yes, all over.
The old Liberty Bell. Freedom Ring.
Any calls?
My dear city editor called, once he's sure you're covering the circus opening tomorrow night. Though why you do it, I'll never know. Send him an Annie. My first time it was a circus opening. Hadn't lived since.
Oh, I wish I hadn't promised this time.
Other things on your mind, Don? Paul Wilf, maybe?
Paul,
he called me?
Shouldn't be here. He's where I was.
Shouldn't I?
Damn, you can be exaggerating.
Sorry. I guess I'm just jealous of the success type. A career, lots of men. But really, did you want to tell Mr. Wilson you were in court, shedding last year's husband?
You didn't.
No.
Wonder why he's here.
How did you ever keep it from him, dear? The divorce, I'm
out of town most of the time. I just didn't tell him.
He'll be surprised.
Yeah.
I suppose you have it all kind of marrying as soon as it's
full. Rush me, I'm down to this one.
What did he say? He wants to see you at 8 tonight. I told him you were tied up tomorrow with the circus.
Oh. Well, you'll go with me, won't you?
That's your department. Why don't you take Paul? I have another pass you can use. Business and pleasure.
All that sort of thing.
I'm afraid he doesn't love me that much, but I might ask him tonight. Let me know what says, will you?
Why?
Oh, I don't know. Just curious.
For the rest of the afternoon, you try to catch up on work. But it's hard, Ellen, trying to concentrate with your mind on Paul this way. Trying to analyze strange new freedom. Different now, with a thrill gone out of it and a curious, unsettled, half-bitter tea in its place. And it hasn't left you hours later as you drive toward Paul Parkman in a taxi. Halfway across town, the driver pulls up at a red flare on the left speedway.
Oh, what is it, driver?
Accident up ahead.
Look at the car.
Wait a minute, Tyler.
Who was it, officer?
Back of that,
Tyler. Ellen Connell,
what did he called? Oh, reporter.
Yeah, was it Ben?
Yeah, three people killed. That was a state senator. Kavanaugh was his name.
Senator Kavanaugh? Yeah. Driver, here you are. Go along. I've got a story to file.
Yes, Ellen, on duty or not, you're a reporter above everything. A state senator killed the bodies of two high school students in the wreckage of their car. So 2 hours later, near 10 o'clock, when you finally arrive at Paul's apartment.
Well, so you finally decided to show up, darling.
I got here as soon as I said it was a bad accident. I had to get the story in.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be working this late.
A reporter, dear, when the story breaks, not air, the Daily Post gets it.
Yeah, for God, for country, and the Daily Post, eh?
not a reporter now, dear.
Oh?
I'm a woman. A single woman.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Aren't you glad?
Nope.
What did you say?
Helen, just because I buy you a few drinks, take it down a couple of times, doesn't mean I intend to make up a man's home.
Paul, I told about
you. You didn't tell me half of it. A man named Jackson looked me up. Your husband's lawyer.
Jackson, what did he say?
You should have let me in all these plans of yours, Helen. Malcolm, too.
What are you trying to say?
I wouldn't have to go ahead with this divorce.
It's all over. I had my divorce. I did it for you. I could be free.
You made a mistake. A bad one. You see, I'm not getting a divorce.
You're married.
That's right. Malcolm knew it. I don't know how he did.
What?
Seems that you got into the wrong game, baby. Ordinarily, the time to pick up your chips and go home. Now you can't even do that.
You can't do this to me.
With your own way, Helen. Don't go blaming me.
What? No.
Wait, but she'll spoil your makeup.
I'll get away with it for you. Here you go. I'll get away with it.
You don't know how funny you look, really.
You hear what I said? I'll
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't.
Oh, that's a dirty shame. This is that bug belongs to my favorite aunt.
Don't man the door.
With the prologue of Night Final, the Signal Oil Company is bringing you another strange story by Whistler. But first, a word about some of the convenience features that today's drivers can enjoy. More and more of the new cars are featuring no clutch, no gear shift. Some even have windows that raise or lower automatically at the mere touch of a button. But whether or not your car has the features, there's one convenience that every driver can enjoy. That is a Signal credit card. For instance, instead of paying cash every time you stop for gas, oil, or a lube job, you only tell the Signal dealer to charge it. Moreover, at the end of each month, when you pay for driving needs with one check, just as you now pay your phone or your department store bill, you have a handy record of what it costs to run your car. It's no wonder more and more motorists are stopping by their Signal service station to fill out an application blank for a Signal credit card. And now back to the Whistler.
To the street. The hate for Paul boiling up in you. Twice as tall now as the love ever was. Because it's a helpless hate. Because Paul is there now laughing at you. And you're helpless. And as the damp fog begins to clear your head, your heart stops pounding.
A logical idea comes home to you.
And you realize that the thing you shouted in anger at him back in the apartment that could kill him wasn't really hysterical at all. It was a statement of fact. You could kill Helen. You aren't helpless at all. By the time you arrive at office the next morning, you decided exactly how it's going to happen. It begins with Anne. There are things you must plan in her mind, and with Anne, you have to be careful.
Congratulations, darling. You scooped the whole town with that crash story last night.
Really?
Oh, now, don't be wide-eyed, dear. It doesn't become.
Well, it was a lucky break, Anne.
And you did a nice job of covering it, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's wrong with you? You're not very enthusiastic.
Oh, it is nothing.
Oh, cut it out. I know better. Now, what is it?
Malcolm.
Oh? Malcolm found out about Paul?
Yes. You know what a temper Malcolm has.
Well, he was at his worst.
Off of the threat against you.
Well, that's why I'm worried. Acted as if I take it out on Paul. You've never seen anyone so jealous of him.
Well, keep them alert until it's over. That's all you can do.
It's not so easy.
You can't hide Paul in a crowd, none.
Hmm? How do you mean?
Take him to the circus with you. That's the one place Malcolm won't go. Not in his frame of mind.
Oh, I think Paul isn't interested in circuses either. I still want them.
No, how about you?
Change your mind?
Uh-oh. The boss will let me off the rewrite desk. I'll be in it all night.
Oh, I'm surprised.
I'm not. If you spot any story, call me, will you?
Sure. So wish you were going with me. It's quite a show.
Yes, that was part of your plan. Part two takes place at the apartment. Your old apartment to which you've still got a key. Your years, Mrs. Delavan, you know that Mal isn't home. And in it, you pick up Malcolm's long, thin letter opener, put it in your purse. Half an hour later, wearing inspicuous red bolero jacket, you're standing in line for ticket booth in front of Key Brothers' giant show. And with a reason for using your pass, isn't it?
Hurry, hurry, hurry! Come on! Who's
this?
I'm sorry.
But crying out loud.
I was sorry.
Okay, I can handle it.
A red bolero jacket, a $50 bill.
You know the man in the tickets will remember you, don't you, Helen? And inside the main entrance, you flip the jacket off, turn it inside out, and fold it over your arm. Just one of it out again. And then a few minutes later, you step quietly out of side exit to make your way to the street. It'll be a simple matter to reach Paul's apartment unnoticed on a crowded streetcar. You're standing in an alcove, a mall outside Paul's apartment, waiting for Malcolm to treat his visit and leave. It's nearly an hour before you see him come out and start down the stairs. Almost before he's out of sight, you're down the hall ringing the doorbell.
Helen.
Aren't you going to ask me anymore?
Should I? There's a vase that I forgot to nail down.
I'm sorry, it's a lot. I won't stay long.
Okay. Your timing was perfect. Just your husband.
Yes, I know.
Oh?
He showed me your letter, Paul. What did you talk of?
Oh, Helen, it all over. Why go on talking about
it? It meant a great deal to me, Paul.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Helen, please, why did you come here?
I want to say goodbye, Paul.
Goodbye?
Yes, I won't bother you anymore. But would you mind taking care of me, Paul? Would you mind kissing me? Goodbye.
Of course not. Come in. Helen, I have a match. Helen, you.
It was a kid's death, wasn't it, Helen? You stand for a moment looking on at Paul's still face. And then you hurry to the door, cautiously let yourself out of the apartment. Hurry back to the circus. The crowd is pouring out main tent as you get there. You slip on the red bolero jacket, mingle with the others as move away from the entrance, battling excitement.
Hey, what were their names?
The five companies. They've been working together for years.
Never anything like it.
Certainly. A taxi.
Lady.
In a coat. No, wait a minute. I'll call the story in. Take me home, Devon. Rockhurst Department.
And upon the room, Miss Connell?
Well, give me the last paragraph again.
Sure. A while last, this performance followed the Shaw Brothers formula right down to the waltzing bear and the death-defying acrobatics of the Carboni troupe. It's very adhered to circus tradition. It was a profitable engagement.
Mm-hmm. Profitable engagement in the city which has long since demonstrated its loyalty to Pencil and Sandbar. Got that?
Right.
Okay, turn it.
It looks like it.
Oh, good heavens, Anne, it's 3 a.m. It's about that review
It is about the review, darling. But wait for yourself. I have some pretty shocking news.
What is it?
Paul Wilson was murdered tonight.
What?
They're holding Malcolm on suspense.
I'll be right down. Ed, what are you doing here?
Oh, I have a lot extra work to do in the composing room tonight.
I've been talking to Ed about the murder, Helen.
Oh, I can't believe Malcolm.
That's just as neither can we. Pretty crude stuff, you know. Advertising a motive all over Carcass. Then knocking off a rival with an oriental skill that a correspondence school detective could trace to you.
He must have lost the reason.
Oh, no. He was pretty jealous, but he wasn't stupid. Well, that's just the point now. They don't want me down at headquarters. You can relax, honey. Police headquarters is coming to you. And why are you... Oh, Lieutenant Jacobs. This is Lieutenant Jacobs, Helen.
How do you do?
I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Well, I'd like to ask a few myself.
Have a chance in just a moment, Miss Conover. I won't be long. You see, I only have one question.
Fine.
Where were you at 10:15 last night?
Well, Anne could have told you that at the circus.
Are you sure, dear?
Well, I found the story in the rewrite.
Didn't you stop to wonder why I wasn't on the rewrite there?
Oh, you should have. You have changed my mind. I went to the circus, too. I used the apartment, the seat next to the one you were supposed to be using.
Does this mean you actually accused me of murdering Paul Wilson?
Well, I admit it gave pause.
Your ex-husband claims he and Wilson thought things over. That Wilson was giving you the...
That's a ridiculous lie. Malcolm is pretty sure of his facts. He's just a quite lovely, too. That you were trying to frame him.
It all depends on that one point of Conover. Where you were at 10:15 last night.
I already told you. I was covering the circus. If you're awfully concerned about that ticket business, I'll produce the pass I did use. It's at home in my tank coat. It changed in my red bolero jacket. I discovered when I got there I'd left the pass home. So I bought tickets in the grand thing.
You can prove that?
I think so. All I had was a $50 bill. The man at the ticket window was terribly irritated with me.
Jesse?
I suggest you find out who he is and ask about the woman in the red bolero jacket. He'll remember me.
Well, let's remember. Now,
let me tell you something, Lieutenant. My good man over here seems to have engineered this. You might be interested in her reason.
Wait a minute.
First off, she's in front of me in my position with this paper ever since he came here. She hit me. She'd do anything to ruin me.
My career.
Ellen, you better tell the truth. Annie, it's all going in the record. This is a topper, Lieutenant. I introduced my former husband at a cocktail party 3 years ago. She's been in love with him ever since. What? He'd do anything right now to save him. Ask her if that's true, Lieutenant. Ask her. Answer that one. Under oath.
Well, what about it, Miss Stoddard?
All right, I do love him.
Lieutenant Jacobs herself, grouped around the dingy rewrite desk for the cruel white light in your office at the Daily Post. Ed, the compositor from the pit room, sitting quietly on the sideline. It was an odd moment, explaining away your absence at the circus. But you're sure now, with a tick man available to place you at the pit at the time of the crime, with Anne admitting her love for Malcolm, you're in the clear. It's almost a full minute after her admission that Anne finally speaks.
Ed.
Yeah?
Bring me the paper, the morning edition with the review of the performance last night. You've got it.
Sure.
Right here. Now let's get straight, Lieutenant. We're all agreed everything depends on where my capable colleague was. At the time, she claimed he was at the circus. Why didn't you let him check my review, Annie?
I've already read it.
Yes. You see, it's a rather important piece of evidence. The next time you see that typescript, it'll be like Exhibit A.
What do you mean?
You're a top reporter, Helen. Never miss a trick. But you did last night. That's why we didn't print your story. We used mine instead.
You what?
Take a look at the headline.
The black lead stab into your brain like me. Swim before your eyes. The floor seems to open and swallow you as the sense of it strikes home.
Five Army troop fighters to death in an accident.
You're unprepared, off balance now. No defense for the...
Important piece of evidence, Helen. Marked Exhibit A.
And as you try frantically to get some excuse, some way out, Lieutenant Jacobs starts bearing in with questions about Paul, about Malcolm, about Frank, the apartment. The whole thing, Helen, the whole hideous truth. Until you can't think anymore, until you find yourself admitting every word of it.
Leave me alone.
They'll put a gun for you down at headquarters, Connery. Come on, let's go. Thanks, Ann.
It was a pleasure.
A good idea. In a week of a head like yours downtown.
What are you talking about?
That morning edition we had Ed print up officially for you, Miss Connery. You see, the flying conies didn't fall last night. But you did. And for a phony headline at that. Gasoline and crude oil, and fine quality automotive accessories. Featured in tonight's story were Betty Lou Gerson and Joan Banks. The Whistler was produced by George W. Allen, recorded by Bob Platt, music by Wilbur Hatch. It was transmitted to our troops obese by the Armed Forces Radio. Marlowe speaking.